Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Take the amplifier from an old speaker.
Nice try, honey. Nice try. That was
yes, it's Juicebox. In the Juicebox. Yes.
We're not having sex in the box right now. We're not going to get fired.
Okay. I forgot my vibrator, so I'm trying really, 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 really hard to simulate vibration. Yes, so in case you're just tuning in right now, you've landed in Juicebox Radio 101.9 with Ms. Saunders and Ms. McGillivray. For Juicebox Radio, which, if you haven't figured it out, tonight we're going to be talking about vibrators and the mastery of masturbation.
Excellent. Nicely done, Ms. McGillivray.
Thank you, darling.
Yes, tonight we're going to be taking calls on the subject of masturbation. So if you have any questions, does it cause hairy palms? Will it cause blindness? what kind of moral and ethical things do you breach by placing your hands and other objects on your genitals for the sake of pleasure? We're going to be talking all about that tonight and discussing the multiple health benefits to self-loving. So,
if there are any or not, you'll have to wait and listen to the show to find out.
Yes, and call in if you have your own tips, your favorite masturbations, your first masturbations, what did you use, how did it go, kind of the horror stories. The students that I usually teach always want to know about the horror stories because I'm trying to teach masturbation, healthy masturbation in my classrooms, and they're always wanting to know the horror stories. So I've got a few. If we don't have any callers calling in, I can share some. But you can call it 604-822-2487. You yourself are the expert on this topic. So do share your expertise with other listeners and let us know what you use to get off.
There's lots of different things to use to get off.
Uh-huh.
Masturbation's a really interesting one where we definitely had to do this topic. We were checking out femalefirst.com, UK, and there was quite an interesting thing on the forum there, which I found highly entertaining. Somebody had written in, I wonder what's a good way to masturbate and how do you know if you have an orgasm? What does it feel like exactly? And the Female First guru, which I thought was very interesting, suggests get an electric toothbrush, press the bristles against your clit, and hold it there. The first time will take a little longer, but after max 8 minutes, you'll get this huge surge going through your body, and you'll tingle all over. This is an orgasm. You can rub your clit with your fingers, too, but this takes longer, or use anything that vibrates a lot. Post us back when you've done this.
This is frightening.
This is why we do sex ed. This is why we're doing this show.
A very frightening bit of advice online, and this is part of the wonder and the horror of online information is that there's so much out there that was never there when we were kids, Caroline, or even 5 years ago, to help people that are learning about sex and want to know about how to explore their bodies and what to do and what is an orgasm and all these things. So it's wonderful that there's all this information out there, but it's also frightening how misinformation is just rampant and poor kids who read, and then there's this guru person who's just really giving some bad health advice.
It's really, really scary.
Really, really scary. So
I think it's great that there is information out there.
Please don't do that.
No, definitely don't, especially, and not least not with the bristle end.
And there's also, yes, the water picks of the past and, you know, the electric toothbrush, the vibrating tip part. If applied gently, perhaps with some cloth between you and the vibrating tip, maybe a healthy alternative for you. Anything that causes any kind of pain or discomfort is a sure sign that you're doing something wrong.
Yes.
Try to stop doing that and try other methods. And always, always, always use a condom. I'm sorry, but you can stick fruit in your body if you want, but use a condom on it. Please, there's all kinds of pesticides and bacteria, parasites, all kinds of things on fruit and vegetables that people stick in their hoo-ha, which is really, or up their anus. And it's really,
I was just going to say hoo-has, plural.
Hoo-has, yes. So please put a condom on things you're going to stick in yourself. And remember that if you put it in your anus, it may get stuck in there and you're going to take a trip to the hospital and have to explain yourself. So maybe you want to choose carefully and
definitely
buy a proper sex toy. There's plenty of them around. There's fabulous sex stores everywhere, online, everywhere. Just, you know, spend some money and experiment. Now, we're going to talk to somebody with one of the newest, most fantastic, fabulous new vibrating sex toys, the 2008 Sex Toy of the Year from Sue Johansson herself. The Wii Vibe, very, very popular, growing in popularity. And we'll have somebody calling in from the Wii Vibe community there, the company, patent pending. Today, they'll be calling in probably around 10:30 or so. So we'll be talking to them about the Wii Vibe. And if you've tried it, please call because Caroline and I received ours in the mail. And we both, of course, in the name of research for the show of masturbation, we have been doing a lot in the last week of research. Yeah. You have been too busy, haven't you?
I have actually used it, but as we all know, I'm practically a vibrating virgin.
Right, so we're gonna have quite a discussion at the other end of the show around vibrators, the benefits, the costs. Do you use them? Shall you? You know, careful, whatever, all these things. So we're gonna talk about that later.
But in the meantime, let's get back to masturbation.
Yes, the myths, the health things. Right.
There's some really interesting things. We wanted to disperse a few of the top three myths of masturbation. Number one, it causes blindness.
Yes, well, anything like that or hairy palms. I mean, this is just absolutely ridiculous. These were things used to prevent young boys specifically from masturbating because of moral reasons and, you know, ethical moral reasons in society back in the day. In some cultures, it's still frowned upon. Spreading, you know, spilling your seed or whatever. I'm not going to name where I got that from. But yes, no, it's perfectly healthy. And we're going to talk about the health benefits of masturbation in a minute. So it's actually fine. And it's across Canada in the curriculum to teach the young ones that it is a healthy way of expressing your sexuality and to keep yourself healthy, happy, peaceful, and free. So do go and be a masturbator. You'll be all right. We'll talk about at the end of the show maybe what's too much masturbation. So
yes, definitely.
You'll have to stay tuned for that.
Number two, only desperate, lonely people masturbate. And actually, it's a huge expression of self-love, masturbation. So it's actually a really important aspect of sexuality. It's good for sexual development, for learning.
It's empowering.
It's very empowering.
It's the opposite of loneliness. I mean, some people do feel lonely when they masturbate. They do it because they have to, because they don't have a partner. They think, you know, I need to do this to get off. I need to be touched. What am I going to do for myself? You know, they have this pent-up energy, and they feel lonely doing it. You need to change your attitude, because it's your perception that's limiting you and nothing else. There's nothing wrong with masturbation. I encourage you to do it, even if you are partnered and having sex frequently, because there's nothing quite as satisfying and personal and for you to grow inside yourself. And there's a lot of ways you could use it as a spiritual practice as well. Lots of yogis go about doing this through Tantra and the rest of it. So really, it can be very empowering.
And it's very important to own your own orgasm, not making it somebody else's responsibility to get you off. Even though it is nice to get off with a partner, it's still really important to take care of yourself. Other thing, number three, that it causes scoliosis.
Did you hear this? I've never heard of this one.
This was highlighted in one of the shows we did a long time ago in terms of one of the horror stories that people used to believe. It kind of went up there with blindness, which I thought was really interesting. But the fact that in the early 80s, Judy Blume, who both of us grew up reading, had the book Dini, where she was absolutely terrified because she ends up having to wear a brace because she developed scoliosis. And she thinks it's because she masturbates.
Okay, well, we know it doesn't, so
we don't.
It has absolutely nothing to do with that. So I wrote, you know, whether partnered or alone, self-love or masturbation is an important aspect, like Caroline was saying. It's also important for your sexual development, for your growth, for learning, and obviously for pleasure. But there's many health benefits to be found over your lifespan. So it's not just when you're young that you're learning about yourself. Over your lifespan you do, but it's also the mental health aspects, the physical health aspects. So as humans, we're pleasure-seeking machines from the day we're born. So pleasure is something that we seek because it's for our health, right? We do it for the sugar, for the food. We know that we have to seek these things out to survive.
The nutrients.
Nutrients. And then also hormones. We seek pleasure hormones for our brain's chemistry and our brain health and our longevity, our heart health, etc. So things like ephedrine and endorphins, oxytocin, which is good for bonding. We've talked a lot about that particular hormone on the shows.
Mm-hmm.
But we also, you know, so again, it comes from seeking like nutrients from mama's breast and then discovering other ways of filling up on things that satiate us, which give us pleasure because it's good for us, as long as you have a healthy balance of But without any pleasure, like food or laughter or touch, sex, other examples, we actually will wither away and die. Receiving and searching out pleasure is what makes us human. So very important that you continue to find ways to do this, whether it's through getting regular massage therapy or masturbating or ways of being touched and to give yourself pleasure, seeing a comedy. Like, it doesn't matter if you're single or partnered, pleasure in your life is crucial.
And we're not just talking about sexual pleasure. In all aspects, it's very, very important. They've actually done studies where if you get 12 hugs a day, you'll live up to 10 years longer.
It's a lot of hugs.
I know, but it's important to get them.
15 minutes of being held, apparently, too, which I think is harder to get than being hugged. So
I agree. So hugs, if you can get those, they're important.
And sleep over at your friend's house and get held in the morning for 10 minutes or something.
Or even if you have if you've got an animal, not to get into bestiality or anything like that, but actually petting a cat or a dog, and I'm not talking about a pussy, but just making sure that they actually find it reduces blood pressure in elderly people. It's actually very, very beneficial. So I think human contact is very, very important.
Well, you know,
and going like, full circle with the whole masturbation thing.
And animals.
Being able to pleasure. Is very good. And I think you want to share a little bit from that book that your sister bought you.
My little sister bought me The Secret Lives of Animals, Secret Sex Lives of Animals. And so, of course,
it's got some great pictures.
There's the solo sex, because many kinds of female and male creatures occasionally stimulate their own sex organs more than just washing them and licking them, as you see a lot of dogs and cats do every day. Stags, for example, during the breeding season, they masturbate by rubbing their antlers through the grass, and this is enough to help them ejaculate. So I think, you know, I never knew that antlers were that sensitive. So.
Neither did I. I think that's really impressive.
And animals do this. And when I was researching the show, I, you know, caught lots of videos of animals masturbating. People have great video shots of all kinds of things these days.
And how did that make you feel?
Well, I was laughing. But I'll tell you, when I was in elementary school and we were doing the animal procreation movies, I used to get quite excited. I think those were my first memories of being aroused, was watching the animal porn. It was a biology class.
I think that I blocked that part out.
Okay, well, I liked watching, especially the lions going at it. Anyway, lions have sex for like a day and a half.
Really?
Yeah, they like lay around and have sex and lay around and have sex and lay around and have sex. And they go at it for quite a long time. And like monkeys, you know? But monkeys do it even more than lions do. Anyway, the lions are more languorous about it. They're like sort of lay around and do it. And they're much more easygoing looking than the monkeys, who are kind of frenetic. Like young stallion men. Like the 18 and 16-year-olds of the world. Quick, quick, and frantic. Anyway, all right.
Quick, and frantic. I like that.
And some people masturbate like that, too. And I think one of the things that's really important when you are masturbating is that you do it and you relax. It's going to actually build your orgasm to be even stronger if you can just bring it close to the, like, maybe an 8 out of 10, 10 being the orgasm, and just let it go back down a bit and just sort of work that. And it can help you to prolong your orgasm, which for some people is a requirement for their sex lives. They want to learn how to get better at having longer, you know, sessions, and they don't want to have an orgasm too soon. Usually these are men's issues. And women, you know, we can learn to have stronger and stronger orgasms that go deeper into our bodies and that therefore create more oxytocin release, more muscular contractions, which is good for our inner body as well, our inner muscles and our organs, releasing fluids and things like that, really good for the body. So women, it's important that you also exercise your patience and keep going at getting close to the peak and then backing off, getting close and then backing off, and really exploring those waves.
Is it true that in many mental health circles that masturbation can relieve depression?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was talking about that because norepinephrine and dopamine, oxytocin, all of these hormones course through the body after an orgasm, ejaculation, etc. That same sort of shallow breath and flushed face, these things all are physical benefits that, like exercise and, you know, particularly orgasms do release a huge amount of oxytocin and dopamine into the mind, into the brain, into the body. And so this relieves depression and it relieves stress, as I'm sure most people can, you know, relate to. When you have an orgasm, your stress goes down. We experience this. So, but it's also helping to lead to a higher sense of self-worth. So even if you do feel a little bit shy about masturbating, know that the more you do it and feel good about it, the more it's going to help you feel good about who you are and feel better in your day-to-day life. So,
and then if you do choose to use it in your sex life with another partner, it can be really beneficial too. Especially
to
if one person,
each other, yeah,
definitely, especially at the beginning stages, being able to masturbate in front of somebody else to show them how you like to be touched, I think is really good. It's also really good too, just to make sure that you're in charge of your own orgasm. So say one person has a higher sex drive than the other, that you're not getting resentful, that you're actually taking care of yourself, making sure those needs are being met.
Yeah, I mean, if you're feeling...
And I think it provides a little bit more of a balance and it creates more harmony in the relationship.
I think, yeah, I definitely, those are all very, very important points and relationship health points as well. I think, you know, there's a desire disparity amongst many couples. It's not uncommon. I'd say it's more common than not common to have the disparity. So if you have that going on in your relationship where you want more sex or you don't, you know, want as much as your partner, masturbation is a good outlet for that. And often, when you take the time perhaps to maybe witness your partner masturbate, you don't want to be involved, but you just say, you know, you go ahead and do it, but I'll be here or whatever, can help arouse you as well, eventually maybe get you to where your partner wants you to be more often. Again, just opening yourself up to the idea that it is okay to do this activity and to get the most out of your sex life. I think it's a recommendation.
I agree. Just as long as you're not using it as an excuse for keeping away from intimacy. Like if you keep it mm-hmm. as a mutual masturbation session, it's quite lovely. Mm. And doing some things on your own as well. Just as long as it's not, because sometimes we get callers sometimes and some emails in regards to the fact that some people complain that their partners say masturbating with pornography, for example, and not bringing that. So if it's an excuse to shy away from intimacy, that's a little bit of a different story, which we'll touch base on a little bit more in later in the show.
Mm-hmm. I think I do want to discuss for those people out there that are trying to get pregnant. I hear this from so many people. They're trying so hard to get pregnant. Masturbation is actually proven to increase your potential fertility. A lot of studies do point to intercourse or insemination. If you're going through artificial insemination, that women masturbating alters the condition of your vagina, it alters the condition of your cervix, your uterus, in ways that can help with conception, depending on the timing of masturbation. So an orgasm between 1 minute before and up to 45 minutes after she's been inseminated, so either artificially or, you know, the regular way through an ejaculation inside of her body. So a minute before or up to 45 minutes after, it favors the chance of the sperm reaching her egg, because basically through that orgasm is like a sucking motion. The uterus and cervix kind of go into the vagina and make a suck motion up in the top part of the vagina, helping to bring the sperm in. So very helpful. They don't have to do as much work. So if you're trying to have artificial insemination, highly recommended that you masturbate really quickly after you can. It also does change the acidity in the vagina, and the cervical mucus helps to move debris out of the cervix, helps to flush the vagina a little bit, and helps make it a little bit more happy and healthy for sperm to get in there. So,
and it's also interesting that it also provides protection against some cervical infections as well. Which I thought that was really, really, really neat.
Again, you know, moving your fluids around in your body, really critical. We're going to talk a little bit about preventing cancer for men as well, prostate cancer. But also for fertility, just as a final talk here, is just around how masturbation flushes out old sperm that have maybe low motility that might be in the genital tract of men. So the more that you have ejaculation, you'll have fresh sperm that have a higher achieve of conception. So, again, if you want to get pregnant, this is some way. But it's also a very good idea to clean the pipes.
Definitely.
You know, I know these people that are Taoists, they don't agree with this. They want, you know, you to keep your, I can't remember the word, sorry, right now, but retain your ejaculation back into the body to preserve your chi and your energy and et cetera. It helps with many things. But I also think it's really important to let your body also do what it's natural for it to release. And I don't agree with a lot of these ancient practices. Maybe they work very well for some people.
Perhaps.
But I think it's really probably a good idea for you to release this stuff as well on occasion. So, and of course, in 2003, there's a big research team that the Cancer Council of Australia. They do lots of sex research in Australia. It's one of the higher sex research countries in the world.
Why do you think that is?
A bunch of horny buggers down there. I don't know.
Well, I was thinking because of the hot surfer bodies and the sun. It just makes you want to have sex. It's kind of like summertime here where we just want to fuck all the time.
I don't know. I just know that Australians do a lot of advanced sex research. They are world renowned for their sex research, and I'm very proud of them. They're doing a lot of really cool stuff around fertility and you know, the moon cycle, lunar ovulation.
Really?
And they're just amazing. There's a lot of stuff going on. So
I think it's great that they've done this study in regards to the fact that frequent masturbation by males appears to help prevent the development of prostate cancer. Now, that's really cool, because the prostate cancer has been increasing. And the study also indicated that this would be more helpful than ejaculation through intercourse, because intercourse can transmit diseases that may increase the risk of cancer instead.
It's probably different cancers, but yeah, whatever. I mean, they're sort of generalizing there.
Yeah.
But again, it's about cleaning the pipes, right?
Definitely. Frequent ejaculation is more easily obtained and sustained over time with the aid of masturbation.
So yeah, masturbation helps with preventing cancer.
And it's good for a lot of things, for coronary heart disease and frequency of orgasm. There was a study in 1997 in regards to that that found an association between death from coronary heart disease. So it's really cool. So masturbate so you can prevent death. I just love that. And frequency of orgasm, even given that the risk of myocardial... however you
infarction.
Thank you.
Myocardial infarction. Just tripped on that one. That's another kind of heart attack.
And it can be triggered by sexual activity. So that's interesting. That even given that, it's that they find that it's okay with a frequency of orgasm.
I don't think... Okay. Right. All right. So basically, it sounds like it's a good idea. So I would say that the American sex ed curriculum during the Clinton administration, I'll say that the U.S. Surgeon General, Jocelyn Elder, she was dismissed for making the American sex ed curriculum include masturbation as a healthy option, especially in the light of abstinence education. It definitely should be a part of that because the reality is kids are horny and what are they going to do with that energy?
So I'm surprised she was dismissed during the Clinton.
She was fired.
Not the Bush.
She was fired. This was done a while ago. This is Canada's, we've had this in our curriculum for like 10 years. So, 5 years, it's been definitely across the board. But, it's just so archaic. These things move very slowly. But basically, it's sad that the United States is so far behind in these things. But, honestly, some professionals consider masturbation, as we were talking about, as a function of a cardiovascular workout. I don't know what kind of masturbating you do, but if it's helping you improve your endurance because you really go for it and you sweat and everything else, great. If you keep, good for you for getting that workout in.
I think it's a great way to get physical.
How do you masturbate? This is the really big question we're going to talk about. How do you actually do it? Caroline, do you have any suggestions before we go for the break?
In terms of masturbation,
yes,
for men
how do
or
you
for
do
women?
It? Well, for women, let's say. Men seem to be a little bit easier. Well, I've heard some stories about men sticking their cocks in vacuum cleaner hoses, with the vacuum cleaner on.
I've heard of guys just pulling their balls away from their body when they get to that point of ejaculation, and that helps
to help them not ejaculate?
No, to intensify it.
Okay.
Which I thought was really interesting, and I've heard quite a few guys actually say that.
Yeah, I see men pulling their balls because they go the testicles do tuck up into the body when a man is getting close to ejaculation. It's also a form of protection for any kind of aggressive movement of the of testicles against the body, for example, and slapping. So testicles tend to move up to protect themselves from being whacked to death while they're having this intercourse. So for some men, that trigger is a little bit tighter and a little bit stronger. So for some men, they have to pull their balls out of their body frequently through their masturbation or through their intercourse. Usually intercourse is a little bit different because they're not on their backs, tend to not as often on their backs, except for the starfish. Of course.
And in regards to women, you were asking...
Yeah, so women are a little bit more complex.
Yes, I think it depends on the woman. In all honesty, some women are vibrator women and they love that. And they use that during intercourse as well. And it makes them very happy. Myself, I'm a fingers girl and I'd highly recommend to people, give it a try.
And the water picks, water massage, under the bathtub tap is popular.
I have yet to figure that out.
Just ensure that you... are aware of the fact that water does go into your vagina and, douching isn't recommended at any time in your life. So you are kind of effectively douching yourself when you use water. So unless you have just the water massage, which is pointed down on your clitoris and vulva while you stand up in the shower, obviously that's not going to inject water into your vagina. But do be careful with this technique not to sort of, get too much water in your vagina and imbalance of the flora and fauna in your vagina. So yeah, water is a good popular one for women as well. So these are all kind of basic techniques.
They are. And making sure you're playing it safe. So either
using the condom, yeah.
Condoms, finger condoms, all that lovely stuff. And if you are using just plain bareback fingers, make sure that your hands are clean. You've washed.
And your nails have been trimmed and there's no cutting little bits that are going to tear and cut.
Exactly. So you don't slice and scratch your innards up, because that does not make it a very sexy thing.
Right. So... Right, so we are. I have to tell people that they're listening to Juicebox Radio on CITR. That's 101.9 FM in Vancouver. It is the lovely half-hour mark of our super sexy show on self-love, sex for one. In the second half of the show, we are going to be sharing a little bit about vibrators, the Wee Vibe, and
how to keep them clean, how to wash things like wrists in regards to using vibrators, all that lovely stuff.
Addiction, and masturbation addiction. We're also going to be talking about, of course, we can't have a show on masturbation without talking about Betty Dodson. She is a preeminent sex educator, fabulous, crazy woman. I've met her a few times. She's incredible. And we are going to be, of course, talking about her, the joy of self-loving and her sex for one. I brought the original into the booth so we can...
I love it.
Do a little bit of reading from her fabulous book and discuss her techniques of helping you women out there discover the pleasures of your goddess self.
So, Julia, should we get out one of those Wee Vibes while we're on the break and just do a little bit of more research?
We should maybe try some more research. Hopefully they'll call us.
I think so, too.
All right, so stay tuned, and we will be back in the box. And if you're going to be joining us for the second half, we look forward to...
We look forward to masturbating with you. Listen to your masturbation stories. What do you want to say?
Yes, that's what I want.
However you want to say it. Why don't you give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And tell us about all your hot, sexy masturbation, ejaculation, squirting. Oh, I thought I saw a spark because I thought somebody had called in. But I was wrong.
Enjoy.
The 27th Annual Vancouver International Film Festival will be held September 25th to October 10th, 2008. VIFF is among the largest film festivals in North America and is one of the largest cultural events in Canada. The broad spectrum of fiction and non-fiction films from around the world is divided into the following sections. The Ark, Elements and Animals. Dragons and Tigers, The Cinemas of East Asia. Non-fiction features. Canadian Images, Cinema of Our Time, and Spotlights on France.
Films are screened on the following 10 screens. Empire Granville 7 Cinemas, Van City Theatre at the Vancouver International Film Centre, Cinematheque, Ridge Theatre. To purchase tickets, visit the Vancouver International Film Festival Centre on Seymour. For information, check out www.viff.org or call 604-683-FILM. That's 604-683-3456.
Yes, it comes in a downward direction. It just integrates to smell.
You put the cops on standby.
Yes, but I never wanted it to get out of control.
Why did Muffy?
Allison.
People piss on your stoop every night. Bohemia, bohemia's a fallacy in your head.
This is Calcutta. Bohemia is dead.
Oh,
Dearly beloved, we gather here to say our goodbyes. Mother Earth, on these nights when we celebrate the birth, in that little town of Bethlehem, we raise our glass, you bet your ass, to La Vie. Playing hooky, making something out of nothing. The need to express, to communicate, to going against the grain, going insane, going mad. To love attention, no pension, to more than one dimension. To starving for attention, hating convention, hating pretension. Not to mention, of course.
Sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back in the box. That was a little bit of Rent with a little bit of Hair. All is a little bit of musical theater. And I think we've got a caller. So if you're just tuning in, we're at Juicebox. So, caller, go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you have to say.
Girls, I got to tell you, you girls blew my mind when I listened to your little segment you got going on masturbating and self-ejaculating over the radio and how to teach and how to get in there and get pretty intense, man. That shit's wild.
Right on.
Thank you.
That shit is so intense, man. My mind was so stoked. I was like, holy shit. And I'm a 20. Okay, I'm going to have to cut it short. I'm going to have to cut it short, guys, because I'm up in this UBC CDI unit.
All right.
And, yeah, if you girls want to come down and visit me, my room's number 14.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Every Wednesday, 10 o'clock.
I am a miracle child, y'all. Like, straight good, straight off the hinges. I'm a kilogram kid. When I was born 2.2 pounds.
Wow.
So I was real tiny. Uh-huh. And I'm a real sweet guy, and I act like a kid because I like to be a kid, you know?
Well, hopefully you don't act like a kid in bed.
Oh, no way. Actually, I was going to ask you women. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you women, how would I be able to get a hold of a sex therapist? Because I've been through so much gangbanging therapy that I'm ready to move on to sex therapy.
Okay.
And me being a blind man, is kind of hard for me to get out there.
You're a blind man. Well, you know what? I have some recommendations for you. I think Pega Wren is one of the sex therapists in Vancouver that I could recommend. She's really quite good.
All right.
And it's Pega. Her last name is R-E-N. And she's one of the only ones that I know of. There's another one, Jocelyn Rose, that's in Burnaby. She's really great.
All right.
So those are some names. You can Google them. I don't know with the blindness how you do that, but if you can figure out a way to email me, you can always get those names, and I can try to hook you up somehow.
Do you guys got this show regularly?
Every Wednesday at 10.
Every Wednesday at 10.
Okay, yo, I'm going to chill out for a bit and just calm down.
Okay.
I have to calm down. You know, my heart's pretty out there.
Okay. Well, thanks for listening.
And I'll give you girls a call back next week. And,
sounds good.
Enjoy the show.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, you take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Oh, that was a fan from...
Very cute. A new fan.
It's quite lovely.
But anyway, there we go. All right, so the We Vibe people, maybe they got a little bit scared, but you know what? We can just do our own response about what we thought about this. Now, I'm going to try to describe it to listeners because I do think it's kind of a pretty cool high-tech vibrator. And it's got a clitoral stimulator on the top, and it's got this little hook That's all. It's all silicone. It's all medical grade silicone, which, of course, every sex toy you ever buy should be made of silicone. Do not buy the other shit. The phthalates and other kinds of rubbers and things are all not very good for you. Now, if you get glass or wood, perhaps that's fine. Anyway, and then it has this hook around it, which has a G-spot stimulator, and you can wear this inside your vagina. I would say that it's mostly made for vaginas. And then you can use it while you're having intercourse with someone, or when you have a dildo inside yourself, you can also have this G-spot stimulator and the clitoral stimulator on at the same time. There's two high-low switch. There's like a certain kind of vibration on the top and a certain kind of vibration on the G-spot. All very cool. I think it's pretty high-tech, and I'm pretty impressed. Just put them on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi, it's Bruce. I'm calling for Julia about the show.
Yes. Well, glad you called. This is Julia, and you're on Juicebox Radio. You're live.
Excellent.
So who's this?
It's Bruce Murison. I'm the CEO and inventor of the WeVibe.
Well, that's fabulous. We were just trying to describe it to listeners right when you're calling. So I think I've done a fairly good job, but perhaps you can talk about this. How does it make it? How is this WeVibe different from other vibrators?
Well, it's different because it doesn't replace the man. I guess it augments it. It allows women to have clitoral and G-spot stimulation. There's actually two motors, one for each sensitive area. And it's such a low-profile and flexible device that it basically just conforms to the woman, meshes right in, and doesn't obstruct the male member appreciably. And and the guys like vibrating woman counterparts as well, so
yes,
everybody wins that way.
I think that's kind of an interesting thing, too, is that the inserter, if it's a male penis, would feel this extra vibration as well, which is not a very common experience. Men can't tend to get that. They sort of have to press the vibrator to their body, to their penis, which can kind of move around too much, and then it sort of slips off. And this is in this nice, tight package of the vagina with the vibrating aspect right there working its wonder. So
it sounds much better than a vibrating cock ring.
Yes, and when the male, of course, pulls back, or if the woman's on top and she lifts up, then the problem with vibrating cock ring is that the clitoral stimulation leaves and stays with the guy, whereas the WeVibe just naturally, anatomically conforms to the woman, so it inherently wants to stay with the woman.
Yeah, it's very cool. I have a question.
Sure.
What encouraged you to create this wonder?
Well, I'm an inventor, have been for my whole life at many electromechanical devices. And with the, I was an ex-Nortel person, and in 2001, I went from research and development of optoelectronic devices in the semiconductor world to basically, my wife and I were driving home from New York City, and we were talking about the, you know, the Californians with their blow-up dolls in the passenger seats so they can drive in the commuter lanes, and the $10,000 sex machines, all this sort of silly stuff as we drove along for 8 hours getting delirious. And just was a simple thought, well, why isn't there a toy that just fits between two people while they're making love?
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote it down in my inventor's book, and it just sort of kept calling my name, so I said, all right. Well, sex toys weren't really part of our life, but I just pulled up Google, and by George, there was nothing, and then did the patent research, and it seemed like such a good idea, and a project within reach that we went for it. But it took 5 years of research and development, of building prototypes and then finding user groups. Is often it's harder to find volunteers that'll give you intimate details of how they found a sex toy. It's actually a little harder than you'd think. But
yes.
And so over about six different versions over 4 or 5 years, we sort of got the ideal flexibility, the ideal softness, power, all of the basic qualities of this toy, and lo and behold, there's the WeVibe.
It works fabulous. One of my favorite things about it is the wonderful subtle travel case
that looks like an eyeglass case.
So it's really cool that way. I think that you know, for people that are a bit shy and they want to bring their vibrators with them traveling, and or just have them on their bedside table or what have you, there's some privacy there.
Yeah, it's very discreet, and really, my son of course, he's 11 years old, so this thing was in the house for, you know, since he was 6 years old or 5 years old. So it's been around ever since he can remember, and he used to think it was a an EPIRB, which is an emergency broadcast device you put in your life jacket.
Okay. Yes, it doesn't look like a typical sex toy, that's for sure.
It doesn't. And how has it affected your personal sex life? Because you mentioned that you didn't use sex toys
before. Well, yeah, I guess, so certainly I guess sex toys are part of our life now. We're pretty much a conservative couple, though.
Just do it the so old-fashioned way?
It hasn't really affected it that dramatically, other than I guess we use the Wii Vibe, but it's not... To us, it's like not something that we use all the time. It's something to spice up the sex life, really, and is... just a one of the many tools in your personal tool chest, I guess.
Right, right.
What would you recommend to somebody who is a vibrator virgin, pretty much, if they're using one of these things, and just on themselves, not with a partner necessarily right away?
What would I recommend as a vibrator for themselves besides a Wii Vibe?
The Wii Vibe can
with Wii Vibe. Or by itself. You can also just wear a Wii Vibe walking around in the kitchen. or and we may make a 12-hour version as well for bus drivers and stewardesses. But,
well, so people could keep coming and coming all day is what you're saying.
Yes, next time you see a happy bus driver, maybe you'll know why.
That's good. Well, maybe we should give that to postal workers.
I don't know if you know a lot about vibration on those sensitive parts of the body, but in my opinion, and I don't have scientific research to back it up, it's hard to get funding for these sort of things. That I believe, in my professional opinion, that vibrators do numb you over time. Now, the nerves can grow back. They can regain their growth and things like that. But people do get addicted to vibrators, and they end up not being able to orgasm with their hands or with partners' hands or body parts. They need that vibration. They need that intense activity, so stimulation. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I actually didn't know that it was a physical thing. I understood that if... and I'm not an expert, really. Mm-hmm. I studied a lot on what women want in terms of RPM and power and that sort of thing. But from an anatomical point of view, I'm not really an expert. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was more that a person climatizes males and females, get used to being able to come with the method that they are accustomed to.
Right.
So,
new methods are sometimes more challenging.
That if they're used to using a vibrator, that's the way they're going to be able to come. But that if the... and so if they change that, then it may make it
hinder things.
I don't know.
Yeah, I hear you. I just know from, 10 years of studying this stuff and being a sex expert in many fields, that I've done enough, even just asking women that have started using vibrators that never did use them before, that they then find that they can't actually orgasm other ways. You know, if they've used a vibrator within the last 24 hours or the last week or so. So they, just because it does, it's a high-intensity vibration on very sensitive nerve endings, right? So if you can imagine.
Does it matter whether it's, like something like the Hitachi magic wand, which is hugely powerful and the lights dim when you plug it in?
Yes.
This something that's more subtle. And also my question would be, what RPM? Because...
Right.
We found that after 7,000 RPM, that it becomes numbing.
Right.
And the Wii Vibe is at 3,000 or 5,000 RPM, which is very on the low side of things.
Yeah, I've noticed it is low.
And so it may also be a function of what many small vibes and some larger ones run from 7 to 11,000 RPM, which is truly numbing.
Right.
Not only, I'm sure, on women's body parts, but, even your... fingers, if you hold on to something that's screaming at that high RPM, it'll numb your fingers. So it may be also a function of the power and what RPM that the vibrator is as to how much sensitivity is lost.
I work really great on my trapezius, actually, on my shoulder. But
well, the Wii Vibe is very gentle. Caroline is a vibrator virgin, so she doesn't know, but the Wii Vibe is very, very gentle.
You were mentioning that. I found it numb me, and I couldn't have an orgasm from it, actually, to be utterly frank. But whereas I'm usually a two-minute girl any other way.
Well, again, I think it's what... I'm sorry, what was your name again, sir?
It's Bruce.
Bruce, what Bruce was saying, how you're used to having an orgasm in a certain way, you get kind of, you know, acclimatized to that so that you're in
but
your
I'd
head.
But I'd be curious in terms of somebody who's never been able to have an orgasm from that, what you'd recommend, Bruce, besides keep trying it as a certain different ways, different positions.
Well, I think, yeah, it's definitely it's a learning process, whether it's a Wii Vibe or any other, it's like a new position. For example, the Wii Vibe can be used like in the missionary position or in doggy style. So for the guy, then it makes a difference as to whether the vibrations are on the top or the bottom of the penis. And say in doggy style, then the woman often finds it best to hold and sort of apply pressure with the clitoral pad. But whereas if it's woman on top, then the woman has complete control of how much pressure she applies between her body and the man's with the clitoral pad sort of sandwiched between the two. So I would say just try different pressures and movements, whether it's with or without a guy, on both the clitoral on the clitoral pad, basically.
Okay,
sounds good.
Primary area.
Sounds good. Bruce, we really appreciate you taking the time out to call. I don't know what location you are in, but maybe the time difference is huge. Are you
from
Ottawa?
No, it's not too bad. I'm back from China.
Okay.
I'm in the factories, make sure all the people are treated nicely there.
Oh, good. Thank you.
And which I can confirm is the case.
Great.
And now I'm in L.A. I'm going to be doing another couple interviews here, and then I get to go home finally on the board.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Well, thank you. And it is a Canadian-made product, we can proudly say. Is that right?
It's certainly Canadian-designed. Yes, absolutely.
Canadian-designed. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time.
And if somebody wants to find out more about WeVibe, is there a website that we can forward them to?
Absolutely. It's WeVibe.com, so WeVibe.com.
Awesome.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
Thanks. It was a pleasure.
Likewise. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Pleasure is a very good thing.
We had like 4 calls come in while we were having that interview, and I'm sorry, callers, but we couldn't figure out how to put people on hold when we're interviewing them and take your calls. So if you want to call back, we will interrupt our show for you, and we apologize for not taking your call in a timely manner.
One of the things I know
it's
touched
on. It's a popular topic, the vibration and the sex toys.
It's a very popular
sex
thing.
Sex toys. We could do a whole show on sex toys like Sue Johansson did every week on Sunday Night with Sex with Sue or whatever.
Well, maybe we should. We should start getting some and trying, and maybe I'll become more versed in exploring with them.
Well, I think we should just start to put ads out because we got some nice new free Wii Vibes in the mail, which I think, I don't even know how much they're worth, but we can't sell them here anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, Talk Sex with Sue Johansson does count the Wii Vibe as the toy of the year. So I think you should give it a try.
Definitely.
And Bruce, the CEO and creator, sounds like a nice man. So, hey, he cares enough to go to China and make sure that they're being made and treated well out there.
And
right?
He cares enough to try and make sure it's good for male and female pleasure, which I like that in terms of that.
I wonder how it works with gay men.
I was wondering that, and we should have asked that while we had him on the air. We can always have him back if need be.
In the anus, on the prostate, but then I think that the extra curve vibration part would go dig into the testicles too much.
I felt my anus just scrunch up at that. Thank you.
Well, it's small enough to stick in your anus just fine. And there's a little hook thing so it won't get lost in there. So it's actually an okay anal toy.
Not like gerbils with certain movie stars that we won't mention on air. Which on that note, before we let's just kind of go on some cleaning tips and things that we can do just to make sure that they're safe.
Okay.
So,
what about addiction? We have to get to a masturbation addiction.
Well, I think we can do all that. So
compulsive
basically making sure if you're using a silicone, making sure that you put it in boiling water for 2 minutes or run it through dishwasher. Rubber dildos, just making sure that using a condom with it preferably, and wash with soap and water in between uses. And whatever
don't
you do.
Buy them, and if you do have to buy them because they're cheap, use a condom every time. They're covered in phthalates and other kinds of cancer-causing things that come off and into your body parts, and they're just all bad.
It's just not safe.
No.
It's just not safe.
And you can just use soap and water to wash those things in between and use condoms with them, please.
Definitely.
And silicone, boil it.
Definitely.
Okay.
And make sure that you turn the stove off afterwards and you don't set your place on fire. But the sex question of the week is, can I become addicted to my vibrator?
I think so.
Do you?
Well, I think, I mean, I really appreciate Bruce's comments on that if it's 7,000 to 11,000 RPM, then yes, that's definitely numbing. It numbs your hand. It's going to numb your clitoral and your, you know, penile nerve endings for sure. Some of the sex toys are lighter, so the 50 to 80 hertz or the 3,000 RPM, those are softer. You're not going to do as much damage. Nerve endings will grow back, but it depends on, you know, if you have diabetes, it depends on how old you are, it depends on your health. So really, my recommendation as a sexual health professional is that you only use a vibrator once a week. Now, I'm sure people will have upheaval about this, but that's my professional opinion. Take it early. Once a week, keep your vibrations down to once a week. Maybe you can do it twice a week, but you should be learning other ways to masturbate. So there's lots of other ways, and there might be some mental blocks in there. The Sex Detox book is good by Dr. Ian Kerner. There's other books that are recommended. I don't know the names, but please email me if you have questions about how to deal with your blocks to masturbation, to orgasm. There's lots of anorgasmic women out there, especially. They have trouble achieving orgasm. Generally, it's in the mind. Our bodies are physiologically made to orgasm, so if you have a clitoris, you could probably have an orgasm. It's really what's going on, the blocks in your mind, in your spirit, in your sexual belief systems. So
definitely, especially the thought of ending up sad and alone and talking to your sex toys instead of having a partner. I think it's a really sad myth, which we've said, you know, it is a myth. And, you know, there was that episode of Sex and the City where Charlotte gets addicted to a rabbit vibrator, which
they
I
have
think
to do an intervention.
Really do.
Her friends have to do an intervention, and they show up at her door, and she's got her fluffy robe on, and her hair is an absolute disheveled mess, and she's hiding the vibrator, and she hasn't dressed in a week or eaten food, and
It is a workout. But what does Simon Freud say about all this?
Compulsive masturbators, and there's people that have sexual addictions out there. And honestly, like other sort of compulsions or addictions, really, I think you have to ask yourself, is this affecting your life in a negative way? If you are being destructive in some way, if you're not getting to the things you should be getting to, and you're wasting or spending, excuse me, a lot of time with your addiction, then there's a problem. If people in your life are suffering because of it, for some reason or another, there's a problem.
What we touched on at the beginning of the show.
But if you're masturbating once a day, it's fine. Hey, if you masturbate twice a day, it's fine too. It just depends on what the rest of your life looks like. So if you're not getting stuff done, if you're hurting yourself, if you're hurting others or whatever because you can't stop, then
this is not healthy behavior.
Yeah. So hopefully that will help guide some people to make right choices for themselves to get some help. And there's some really cool other stuff I wanted to get to, like Betty Dodson's Sex for One, The Joy of Self-Loving, a classic. Some women feel very limited in their ability to look at their vulvas, to touch their vulvas. So Betty Dodson was all about helping women to discover their flowers, their petals, etc., and so many different types and varieties out there. Yours exists out in the world somewhere. And don't believe just what you see in the little porn books and things, because women don't all look like that. So she wrote a whole book about it and how to masturbate and why it's important. So I highly recommend you give it a read. It's a good classic. And what else?
And we've got some homework for you listeners. So if you need to masturbate, this week, come up with a different way to masturbate. And write to us at julia@juiceboxradio.com or caroline@juiceboxradio.com and tell us your tale of masturbation and how much you enjoyed it, what you did that was a little bit different, and if you came. And if you get a chance to try WeVibe or any other sex toy, we want to know about them. Share, share, share. Do not use an electric toothbrush with the bristles on your clit. It is not healthy. The Juice Box girls do not recommend this. So if you're on femalefirst.com/UK, please listen to Juice Box. Don't listen to that advice.
And we may be back next week to talk more about Sex for One and your sexual health, because we didn't get to gait may be associated with orgasmic ability, and we didn't get to our lovely PhD, Betty Dodson, how many books she wrote, Viva la Vulva. I mean, there's so many great books, so we could talk
about. We have a lot. There's an abundance to talk about, and Julia
Eve
did
Ensler.
A great, great, great job. putting this together.
No problem. So, all right, we hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We'll be back next week. If you have any recommendations for a topic, please email us at juiceboxradio.com. Coming up, Hans von Kloss, Misery Hour. I'll have Marianne notice that on the board outside, there's the schedule of all the radio shows, and your particular show
has hearts.
Hearts and little face, making little happy faces, and it says stuff like this is what real radio is all about or something. So you have a lot of fans out there, and we'll point it out to you in a minute. So I think you can attest that this show is worth listening to. So stay tuned and listen to Marion. He's a very sexy man to be miserable with. Tune into Juicebox Radio every Wednesday at 10
o'clock.
Thanks, Caroline.
You're welcome, Julia. Let's go home and masturbate.